Welcome to session 6 of How to Build a Profitable Business Starting from Scratch, The Right Actions. As we learned earlier in the program, it's all about action. It's all about getting into action and learning from the results of action. So in this session, we're going to learn about mindsets and strategies and steps to make sure that we take a lot of action. Action mindset number one. We learn a lot more from taking action than we do from making a perfect plan. So many of us get stuck planning what we're going to do. We never actually do it. Now, the key to building a profitable business is to get all of the learning out of the way so that we can discover the things that will actually make profit. And we have to get some of this initial kind of trial and error under our belts of talking to customers, learning about their needs, trying marketing offers, products, etc. We learn a lot more from taking action in doing these things than we do from making plans to do them. Now, if you're like me, you like to learn a lot about how something works before you do it, right? I know that I do. I like to learn everything that I possibly can so that I don't screw up and so I get it right, et cetera, et cetera. This actually is counterproductive in business. Of course, we want to research and we want to make plans and we want to imagine it going correctly. But what we really want to do is get into action. If you're the type of person that likes to look really good, okay, this might get under your skin a little bit because you won't be taking action that makes you look perfect. You'll be taking imperfect action. But when you get into action, you learn so much more and you learn so much faster that it makes the little bit of embarrassment or looking like an amateur or screwing up or, you know, risking looking stupid in front of people that you have to take on. So take action. Try it. Do it. Get out there and make it happen because you're going to learn a lot more from taking the action than from imagining taking action and making plans. Action mindset number two. Most people don't execute, which means that most competition isn't. Okay, so most people don't execute. Most businesses don't execute. Most make big plans and don't do anything with them. And what this means is that if you have a great idea and you're afraid that someone else is going to steal it, okay, you usually don't have to worry about it. And you got to do it anyway. I mean, if they're going to steal it, they're going to steal it. And in this day and age, everyone's going to steal it. So don't worry about it and just get into action. But the good news is, even when other businesses and other people see what you're doing, they won't execute. They won't actually do anything with it because they're too busy. They're too stuck in their habits. They're too distracted with multitasking and interruptions. So remember, most people don't execute, which means that most competition isn't. You don't need to spend too much time worrying about it. Action mindset number three. Bad things tend to happen in business because of inaction, not because of action. Okay, so a bad thing in this case is you waking up 5 years from now and being in the same or worse financial condition than you're in now. That I consider to be a bad thing. You spending a couple of $100 on an ad and having it not work, that's not a bad thing. That's a great thing. You learn from that. You making a video and putting it online where you look kind of stupid and people make fun of you, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing because you learn from it. The real things that are bad, they happen because of inaction, because we don't do it, because we say, oh, there's too much, I'll never get to it, and we give up before we even start, because we try to make plans and we want to get it perfect before we do anything, and then we never actually get around to doing anything. So bad things tend to happen in business because of inaction, not because of action. The things that you're going to do when you take action, like going out and talking to customers and getting feedback and selling your products and creating marketing and creating innovations, these are what lead to the growth and to the profit in your business. These are the things that you need to be taking action on all the time. And these are the things that if you don't take action, okay, if you experience inaction around these elements, that's what's going to lead to the ultimate bad thing, which is no growth to your life, or waking up in a more competitive future where you haven't taken advantage of the training that you've gotten and the opportunities that are in front of you. If you're going to fear something happening, don't be afraid that it's going to happen because you're taking action. Be afraid that it's going to happen because you're not acting. I regret the things I didn't do, not the things that I did. Action mindset number 4. Act to find a better way, not the right way. Now, there's a lot of psychology underlying this idea, but the trick here is to keep finding a better way to talk to customers and understand them, to create innovative, new, different, better products, and to improve your marketing and your sales. Better ways. Our mindset, and I think it's kind of the cultural mindset for business, is what's the right way to do this? Okay, what's the right way to do my marketing? What's the right thing to say? What's the right business to get into? And what's the right product to sell? Right? And if you're stuck in that paradigm of what's the right way to do it, you're never going to find a better way, because you're going to be looking for one way to do it, not one way, and then a better way, and then a better way, and then a better way. W. Edwards Deming, okay, he was a statistician and a management consultant, and he's a real guru in the world of business. A lot of people really respect his thinking around systems thinking and statistics. And he studied with kind of a master of statistics. And when he tried to get Americans to listen to what he had to say about improving their businesses, they didn't want to listen. And this was back in the 50s after the Second World War. And Japan, which had, you know, kind of been destroyed and their esteem had been destroyed, they were very willing to listen. So he went over to Japan, and a lot of people kind of credit him with Japan's rise to power in the decades that followed. And what he did was he taught them how to look at everything they were doing, measure it, and then critically, constantly improve every part of it. Constantly improve every part. Now, in America, we really got behind the curve here. We fell behind in electronics, in auto manufacturing, and in other areas because we were doing it the right way, not always trying to find a better way. And because they had it driven into the culture of business there, they were never satisfied with the right way. They were always constantly improving, making little tweaks. Okay, so over here in America, what we would do is we would say, okay, let's make a screw for the car, and let's figure out the right way to do it, and then let's try to get it to be exactly the way we want it and get it into these tolerances and so forth. Well, in Japan, they would say, okay, well, what are we doing now? What's the next better way to do it? How do we make it stronger? How do we make it smaller? How do we make it more perfect? How do we make it so that we can use the same screw in many different places and standardize? Always looking for the better way. And I heard a story about an American car manufacturer. And as I recall, a consultant came in and said to them, have you ever driven one of the competition's cars? And they said, no, we only drive our own cars around here because we're loyal to our American steel, you know? So they said, well, you need to take a look at what they're doing. So they got one of the competition's cars from Japan, one of these imports, and they had their mechanics take it apart. And their mechanics were stunned because they took all the pieces apart, and then when management came in, the mechanics were saying, look at this. This whole thing is like a kit. It snaps together perfectly and everything fits. Whereas when they would put body panels on a car in America, they'd have to take out these rubber hammers and hammer them into place and bend them. And all the seams were ugly and not uniform. The Japanese car was perfect. They could take it apart, snap it all back together. It went together perfectly. And they realized that they were in big trouble. So a lot of people say to me, well, you know, what should I do for my marketing? You know, what's the best thing I can do? What's the right thing to do? And it's not about finding the right way. It's about constantly finding a better way. You're not acting just to get the result. You're acting to learn. You're acting to get feedback from the system and see how it works so that you can do it a little bit better and you can keep improving it and you can keep tweaking it and tuning it and making it better and better and better. So act to find a better way, not the right way. And don't get too comfortable with the way that you're doing things, because if you get too comfortable, okay, your mind will start thinking, well, that's the right way to do it. I don't want to mess with that. So constantly find a little better way. Action focus tip number one, speed of implementation. Speed of implementation. This is what separates the winners from the losers. Most of us, when we get an idea, we think, okay, you know, I'll think about that. Maybe I'll get around to it. Winners act. They implement right now. When you get an idea, okay, it's kind of like having a dream. It's in your mind for a brief period of time. And just like a dream, you know, you wake up and you remember your dream. Wow, that was vivid. Later in the day, you try to remember it again and it's kind of slipped away. By tomorrow, you can only remember 10% of it. A couple of months later, the dream, you might remember that you had it, but you're really not in touch with any part of it. A year later, it's gone. No access to it anymore. Well, it's the same thing with good ideas that you should go and implement. If you get a good idea now and you don't implement it immediately, like right now, today, not in a week or in 3 months, but right now, to get a feel for what it's like, to see what the results are, to learn it, to drive it into your mind, it's going to be like that dream you had. And a week from now, it's going to be kind of foggy. Yeah, I think I remember it. A month later, 2 months later, it's gone. No probability of you ever doing it. Speed of implementation. Take action immediately. Use it. Action focus tip number two. Get to the third version as fast as you can. Get to the third version as fast as you can. Okay, so version 3.0 is what you're looking for. This is a great mindset and it's a great approach, because what it does is it takes your mind off of the first iteration and having to get it perfect and having to make it work. And it also lowers your expectations. So if it doesn't work out, you don't get discouraged and you don't get bummed out. When you're going for the third version, okay, that it adds a little more persistence. And it really calls attention to the fact that the first couple of versions are just to learn, just to get oriented and see what the space is about. So, for example, let's say that you decide today that you're going to start talking to one prospective customer every day. Don't worry about how the first one goes. It's not a big deal. Just do it. Don't even worry about how the second one goes. You just are getting used to the space, okay? Be concerned with the third one. The third one is the one that matters. That's the one that will tend to work better. Okay, that's where you'll start to get it, and that's where you'll start to feel at home. So get to the third version as fast as you can. Get into action now, but really focus on that third version. This idea of iterating, rapid iteration, this is something that I'm finding that really smart business people are doing more and more and more, and it's really creating a lot of this almost explosion of innovation that we're seeing. When you're just getting started with something, you don't understand it, you're shaky, You're nervous. You're unsure. You're feeling fear. You feel vulnerable. You're afraid of failure. You're afraid that you'll get rejected. You're afraid that you're going to lose influence and power in the world. Okay? That's not the one to focus on. The one to focus on is the one after that. That's when you'll start to feel a little bit of stability. You'll have that feeling of, okay, now I'm starting to get it. And that self-esteem, okay, now I get it and now I can cope. Now I can face whatever I'm going to deal with. That's critical. Because if you don't feel that, then you're not likely to perform well. Okay, so the first one, give yourself permission to screw it up. Don't worry about it. The second one, give yourself permission to screw up. Don't worry about it. The third one, that's where you want to start really paying attention. That's where you want to dig in. That's where you want to take everything that you've learned, put it to use, and really start doing it right. You'll make so much improvement. Okay? You'll make so much improvement in those first iterations. Action-focused tip number three. Shoot for great, not for perfect. You shoot for great, not for perfect. Essentially, everything that I do in business, I look back on and I say, yeah, that was pretty good, you know, or yeah, that was great. I don't look back and say that was perfect. I did that perfectly. In this program, I see little mistakes and little things that I would do differently if I had to do it over again. You'll see them. You'll recognize them. There'll be a little typo or an error somewhere. Okay, but I feel like it's great. Okay? I'm doing a great job here. I feel like I'm delivering. I'm in the zone. But it's not perfect. It's not perfect. When you're striving for perfection, okay, what you do is you get into paralysis of analysis. You get stopped trying to make sure that every single little detail is right before you take action. Okay, so 80% is good enough. Okay, it gets you close enough. And what's really interesting is you can usually get 80% done in 20% of the time. It's that last 20% that takes 80% of the time because of diminishing returns and all kinds of problems you run into trying to make things perfect. So success, profit, it comes to those who shoot for great, not for those who shoot for perfect. Action focus tip number four, over-communicate. Okay, over-communicate. This is very important in business, whether you're dealing with customers, partners, anyone that you're interacting with, over-communicate. If you're creating a marketing piece, give more details than you think you need to. Set expectations more. If someone buys something from you, contact them. Ask them how they like it. Give them more stuff. Offer to help them out. Offer more of your products. If you're talking to someone that you work with, like an employee or a team member, tell them what to expect. Give them all the details. Keep them updated. Problems happen in business because expectations are violated. Most of us don't set expectations as well as we could, so we don't even tell our customers and our employees and our affiliate partners and whatever. We don't even tell them what to expect. So they have their own expectations. And then if someone comes in with their own expectations and you don't align them, well, they're almost certainly going to have them violated because you're not privy to their expectations. So over-communicate. Tell people what to expect. Tell your customers what to expect. Tell them what you're up to. Give them action steps. Ask them questions. Tell your employees exactly what to expect. Okay? Tell them what you're up to. Give them updates really often, as much as possible. In almost every case, you'll find that you can't communicate too much. You cannot communicate too much. People want to know what's going on. Okay? So over-communicate. Give them way, way, way more information than you think they need. And very critically, at the beginning of the relationship, Set as many expectations as possible. Let your prospects and your customers know how long it's going to take to watch your video, or how many minutes they have to wait until they can get your product, or exactly what's going to happen after they order. Set as many expectations as possible, and then meet them. It's very important to underpromise and overdeliver. Okay, it's too easy to promise big and then deliver small. It's so much better to promise small and then deliver big, because that's when people really get impressed. Okay, if you tell me that you're going to do 10 things, but you only do 9 of them, I actually ding you for the one a lot. I mean, like, it's really a lot. I really penalize you for the one thing you said you were going to do, especially when I'm paying money. On the other hand, if you tell me that you're going to do 3 things and you do 4, I appreciate it. I'd rather you told me that you're going to do 3 and you do 4 than you told me you were going to do 10 and you only do 9, even though I'm getting more than twice as much. Okay, so set expectations and then over-communicate. If there's a problem, this is doubly true. Okay, so if you run into a problem, there's an accident, if the deadline is going to be missed, this is when it's most important. And if you're doing it in advance, okay, not after you miss the deadline, okay, so you don't want to call the day later and say, oh, we missed the deadline. You want to let them know as soon as you know. Okay, when you call a week early and say, I promised this to you next Monday, and we're running into some delays. I wanted to keep you updated. I'm sorry about this, but it looks like it's not going to be to you until the following Monday. Here's what's going on. I'll keep you updated. And then keep them updated. Okay, your customer, your employee, your partner, they will appreciate it. Because everyone knows that there are problems. There are issues that come up. It's when you call up on Tuesday and say, I know I was supposed to get this on Monday. I'm sorry. We're working on it. That's when people lose confidence in you. So over-communicate. And now we have our third secret weapon. Watch your numbers visually. I happen to think that this innovation that we humans had of taking quantitative data or numbers and then displaying it on charts is one of the biggest ahas that we've ever had. It's one of the biggest insights that we humans have ever had. Massive insight. When you see the numbers displayed as a chart, and I'm talking about a line chart where you plot all the points one after another and then you connect them so you can see whether the trend line is going up or going down, it does something internally to you. It activates a part of your psychology and your motivation that just looking at numbers on a page doesn't do. So one of the things that's very important to do is to take your key numbers in your business. And when I say key numbers, I mean the very simple things like how many people visited your website, how many people subscribed or opted into your list, how many of your customers bought something that day, how much money was deposited into your bank account, how much money did you spend in expenses. Okay, the simple stuff, you take them and you enter them into a simple box in a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet or a free Google Docs spreadsheet. It takes 5 minutes every day to put all those numbers in there. And then you click on the little button that says, make me a chart out of this. And you look at the trends. And I'll tell you, if you track the 5 or 10 key numbers in your business every day, or anything for that matter, it will change. And you will go to work on it. Okay, so another number that would be very valuable to track is how many hours each day are you investing doing the important activities of interacting with customers live, selling, creating products, marketing. Okay, so interacting with customers, products, marketing, sales. If you track that on a chart and you put it on the wall and every day you look at that chart, okay, it's going to give you feedback and you're going to see, oh, look at this. My time went down by 50% over the last few days that I'm investing in these high-value activities. When you see that, part of you is going to say, oh, that means my income is going to go down in the future at some point when this plays through the system and works itself out. Because we don't track our numbers visually and we don't look at them in a way that's easy to understand, we can see all the lines going up or the lines going down, we don't do the things that will make the line start going back up, and we wake up at the end of the year and we wonder why things aren't working out the way that we want them to. Okay, so the chimpanzee that lives inside of us, it's only concerned with right now. It's a very instant gratification-oriented beast. It's not thinking, what are the things I need to do today so that I feel great tomorrow, in a year, in 10 years? It's, what do I need to do right now so I feel great right now? And whatever it is that you need to do now to feel great now is a distraction from the things that will make your future better. So this idea of watching your numbers visually, of using a simple spreadsheet and just putting those numbers in there and making a simple chart so you can watch the trend line and then looking at it every single day, this is massive. It closes the feedback loop and it lets you quickly, literally in a minute, look at the charts and see what's going on. And you can see, oh, there's more traffic coming to my website, or there's less traffic coming to my website. Oh, look at this. There are more people signing up for my opt-in list. Oh, there are less people signing up for my opt-in list. Oh, look at this. I'm spending less time on the high-value activities in my business. Oh, I need to get back to that because that's what's going to create the success down the road. When you watch your numbers, when you track visually every day, and you focus on the high-value activities, days, weeks, months, years at a time, that's when you really have your big breakthroughs. When you don't, when you just throw Hail Marys and try things here and there, and you don't take this seriously, that's when you keep waking up a year later, 3 years later, 5 years later, and you're in the same or worse situations. The pros watch their numbers, and they watch them visually. Very, very important. One of my most important kind of secret weapons. All right, so let's do an exercise and let's take massive action. You should be looking at an exercise that says taking massive action. Action is what drives to success in business. Inaction is what leads to failure. It's that simple. Use this exercise to identify your blocks to taking action and the things you need to put in place so you take massive action every day. So first question. What is stopping you from taking action right now, and how can you eliminate that obstacle? What is stopping you from taking action? Is it fear? Is it your environment? Is it interruptions? What's stopping you, and how can you eliminate the obstacle? Next, what will get you into action and ensure that you do things imperfectly fast with the intention of getting it right the third time? And then finally, what will cause you to adopt the mantra, speed of implementation, and use it in your business? Okay, what will have to happen so that you use speed of implementation, and when you get a great idea, you immediately put it into action? So answer these three questions, and I'll talk to you in session 7, the final session of How to Build a Profitable Business Starting from Scratch.